You're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear-related on DVDverdict.com. This week, Steve plays with his Wii U, John is the new God of War, and Kev solves a mystery, or rewrites history, something.
Somebody say something, for God's sake.
You are listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming,
gadget,
and gear related.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Gear. Related. But not actually gear, just gear related.
Yeah.
On DVDverdict.com.
What would be gear related? Like batteries?
You're listening to the podcast about batteries.
Metal Gear. We talk about double A's, triple A's, 9 volts, C,
20, 32 button cells.
Sorry.
3 volt.
Lithium ion.
Nickel cadmium.
We don't talk about battery charger stuff because that's actual gear.
That would be gear. That's not gear related. Good evening. Or morning. Or afternoon. Or midday. Or midnight. Whatever the case may be.
Maybe you live on a planet where there's, you know, the planet
Stop
is...
Stop Star Trek talk, Kevin.
With me as usual. Well, okay, no, I'm Steve, so we got that out of the way.
Yep.
With me as usual are Mr. John Mercer.
What up?
And Mr. Kevin Woolridge.
Bork.
way to date yourself with that reference, Kevin.
Man, Muppets are timeless.
The Muppets are timeless.
If you're 40.
I'm kidding.
I love Muppets. I love myself some Muppets.
He about to get himself killed. On the radio.
On the radio, man.
On the radio.
Gerard Butler's going to stab you in the brain and save America.
Yeah, we're very excited because today, well, myself and Steve anyway, saw Under Siege 3, Olympus Has Fallen.
And I didn't.
You didn't miss a whole lot, dude.
Okay.
You really didn't. The Hydra 6. You missed the Hydra 6.
And brain stabbing.
There was some brain stabbing.
Yeah. And I'll be buying it day one on Blu-rays. About lockout for
Christ Gerard
sake.
Butler, it's up to you to save America. All right, I'll save it, but I'll stab brains along the way.
Mike McBannon, he loves America.
He even, like, went out of his way to hide that Irish accent, didn't he?
Okay, no. Staley, is that enough movie talk to justify our existence on DVD Verdict?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's get on to more serious topics.
I believe you have a game to talk about, don't you, Mr.
Oh,
Mr.
I do. Do I ever? And I have things to say about it because broke my heart a little bit this evening.
No,
broke my heart. We're going to talk about God of War Ascension. I've been playing God of War since the game first, the series first dawned. What was it, 2005?
Yeah, okay,
yeah, 2005.
We'll say.
And my wife, then girlfriend, sat down and, you know, that weekend and watched me play through it. Bought it for me as a Christmas gift that year. And, you know, I loved the first God of War. I loved the second God of War. And I got really excited for God of War 3. I mean, we all saw the... well, Kevin didn't because he didn't watch it back then. But we saw the trailer reveal at the VGAs that year.
Mm.
I got crazy excited for God of War 3 and... Then the game was like my hopes and dreams slamming into a telephone pole at 120 kilometers an hour, ending my promising wrestling career. And it was just a... sorry, you guys didn't get that reference. So.
there was nothing promising about your wrestling career.
No. It was actually something that happened in the 80s I was referencing. But anyway, the...
I think I know what it was. Yeah, anyway, carry on.
God of War 3 was just... soul-crushing drudgery for me. And I didn't care one lick, not one iota, about God of War Ascension. I didn't look at anything about it. I just, you know, I was done with God of War. There's too many games out like that I had played, and you know, to me, it felt like endless button mashing at this point, and really, really annoying puzzles. And what I played in God of War Ascension, more of the same, really.
This was supposed to be the part of the review where you would say, but... But and then turn just, it around and say like, how amazing and how surprisingly good it was.
But it didn't just suck that much. It sucked even more. Sorry, Adam, if you're listening. I know you like God of War.
Is it Adam or Dave?
No, Adam Peddle. Console.
Oh, console culture, yeah.
He loves his God of War.
He loved Ascension, too.
Yeah. But no, it just... at this point, guys, the button mashing, it feels like masturbation. It really does.
He said it on the air.
He did.
That's because I can't pronounce self-flagellation. I was afraid I was going to mess that one up. Self-flagellation. No, but I mean, it's just endless, dreary button mashing. You guys saw, I mean, you stopped looking at the 100-inch screen, which we still couldn't see what was going on because they keep pulling the camera back.
It was a little chaotic at times, a little disorienting for sure.
Really disorienting, and I mean, I was just standing there without my left hand on the controller. Yeah, just alternating my thumb between square and triangle. Always square and triangle, John. Always square and triangle. And I was still kicking ass.
You were?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Taking names, too. And then, you know, there were a couple boss fights thrown in there. I was fighting this great big hand monster. And, yeah, it was just everything that God of War has been throwing at us nonstop with the volume turned up all the way. You know, you had your rule of three, I think Kevin called it. We're fighting the boss, you know.
Yeah, you have to do everything three times.
Yeah, you button mash him for a little while. And the God of War bosses, to me, it's like you're fighting a wall. You got this brilliantly designed creature, but it just feels you're standing at a platform with an invisible wall, so you can't fall off. Just wailing at this thing in the background,
mm-hmm.
rolling every now and again when it, you know, clumsily hammers a blow down on top of you, and you just wail and wail and wail and wail, just smack and slash and stab at it until he gets tired, in which you'll do a grapple, you know, do a couple QTEs, which I now understand. I never really got why people hated them so much at first, but it's just they were really annoying in Ascension.
The game starts with a QTE.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah, it kind of does.
And that's what I found when I first, you know, was playing the demo. It was like, right away there's one of them, and I was like, oh, come on. I accept that these are going to happen, but not the very first goddamn thing.
Yeah, you know, you just whittle away at them for a little while, and then do a QTE, or button mash the circle button a few times, and smash them into something on the left side of the screen. Then you'll do it on the right side of the screen. And then finally, you know, you'll crush or impale or disembowel, only it wasn't as shockingly violent as it has been in series history.
Yeah, and that was, I think, my biggest thing. I can't help but feel that, you know, it's not that the formula hasn't changed, it's just it's kind of grown stale.
Yeah.
You
know, that whole, for one, you know, pressing square repeatedly is starting to get old. Two, God of War, well, it's always been a technically brilliant series.
Yeah.
It really has always been technically absolutely brilliant. I always found the combat rather mindless because everything is an interrupt, so you never had to worry about overextending yourself. You never had to worry about like overextending yourself or overtaxing yourself like you would with Metal Gear Rising or with Ninja Gaiden, you know. But with God of War, everything was just mindless hack and slash. And on top of that, I always found, despite the fact that technically, I mean, as far as, like, on the later PS2, God of War 1 and 2 were brilliant looking, you know, like, beautiful technical achievements. And then you had God of War 3, which was gorgeous, and Ascension.
It still is gorgeous.
Which is still, you know, Ascension's a nice looking game, but I always found the art design to be rather uninspired.
Right.
It's never really, like, I mean, it's one thing to have a beautiful looking game. It's another thing to have a beautiful looking game with captivating visuals. And I think it was Mr. Dobbin who said it earlier, you know, like, while we were playing it, he said how Darksiders just looked so much more interesting.
Yeah.
You know, or I'll even say Devil May Cry. Like, I mean, that's the big difference there. Ninja Theory are amazing designers. I mean, Heavenly Sword looked beautiful. But God of War is more technically accomplished, but it doesn't have that design sense to it. It's not visually appealing.
Well, you got this... Okay, the first thing when you get your cute... The game starts up, Kratos opens his groggy eyes, and you got this hideous bug-looking... I assuming she's one of the Furies,
yeah.
Right? Bug-looking girl in front of you, who for some reason one of her arms hacked off, right?
Yeah.
And insect legs sprouting out from all over. But, I mean, it's just a mishmash.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing there that's visually arresting. And on top of that, I just didn't know what the fuck was going on.
No.
Yeah, it really throws me into the story without any background whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is what I found with Tomb Raider as well. It was like right away, but then you get those video things that fills in the blanks later on.
Yeah.
And I would hope that they'd fill in some blanks.
Oh, Tomb Raider was brilliant.
With this game.
No, and this does it too. Like, maybe towards the end the story does start to fall into place.
Mm. But there's nothing in the gameplay that makes me want to go for it.
No, and it's a situation where Kratos' story has been told.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no way for Ascension to really feel like anything other than a cash grab.
Yeah.
You know, it just, to me, it's...
And when God of War 3 came out, and, I mean, it made... Godzillions, right?
Yeah.
The series has always been a golden goose for Sony.
Yeah.
And everyone was saying, you know, well, where do we go from here? You know, Kratos destroyed Mount Olympus, and the game ended with you literally punching Zeus until the screen ran red with blood. And then cue end credits, right?
Yeah.
And there was nothing else you could possibly do with the character. His entire character
arc
is rage.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Kratos' interesting character arc ended with the first game. He avenged his family, right? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. There never should have been a sequel.
No. I mean, in the second game, it's just, oh, wow, I'm playing as the biggest asshole in mythology. And then the third game was all just, you know, this petulant child just throwing a tantrum and destroying the entire world while he does it.
Yeah.
I was playing God of War 3, it's like, I don't want to play this. You know, you kill Poseidon, and what do you see? They show a cutscene of a town being completely flooded out.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing to control the oceans anymore. I really don't want to play this anymore. And everybody said, where are they going to go from here? Let's, you know, what pantheon should God of War take on next? Egyptian, Norse, you know, Shinto, whatever you want, right?
Like I said, you know, rather than, you know, keep going with Kratos, they could have done that. They could have taken... you know, Norse mythology or Egyptian mythology, something like that, created, like, taken a memorable character from that mythology and turned it into a new game.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like they did with the Darksiders series.
You
play as War, and in the second game you play as Death. Well, in this new God of War thing we're doing, you're going to play as Freya, the goddess of battle, or you're going to play as, what you have from Egyptian, you know, Amon-Ra, or...
something, like, they could have done something really cool.
Or, you know, you could have had some cool Japanese god decked out like a crazy samurai.
Yeah.
Right?
That would have been really nice, man.
Yeah. Rather than stick to totally bastardizing Greek mythology.
Yeah.
Especially since you've got four games with Kratos, and we just had Devil May Cry relaunch. Metal Gear Rising just came out. You know, Ninja Gaiden's been going strong in the Xbox for a few years, and God of War is really starting to show its age.
And I think the ultimate telltale for me, the biggest telltale, it came out around the same time as the fourth entry in the Gears of War series.
Yeah.
And I was getting the same vibes from Gears of War Judgment. I was getting this whole, oh, here we go, cash grab. The series is done, but we're going to cram out one more prequel game.
Yeah.
The parallels were just so there. You know, like, the parallels were so obvious. They were so in your face. It's like, how can you possibly change it up this late in the game now? You know, how could you possibly make the game interesting again? But Ascension didn't.
No.
Ascension just feels like one of the PSP God of Wars.
Mm.
Yep.
With a half-baked story as an excuse for the game mechanics. Whereas Gears of War Judgment actually really does something legitimately original with the franchise and changes the gameplay up considerably.
And we'll have more on Judgment next week because John just got his 360 back. And John knows that neither Kevin or Steve are going to let him talk about Bioshock. I think Kevin's already claimed Bioshock.
No, nobody else is talking about Bioshock.
But, it's just... It's a really sad parallel, because, I would have thought Sony Santa Monica was a better studio than Epic.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the whole thing, too, is by the end of God of War 3 and the end of Gears of War 3, I didn't give a shit about these characters anymore.
No.
You know, they ran the storylines home so hard and so heavy-handedly, like, they had so little to work with and tried to create this big, tense tapestry out of it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, you're weaving a tapestry out of horsehair.
Yeah.
You know, it's not... These characters don't lend themselves to deep, meaningful narratives.
Mm. No, their entire narrative is...
And at least in the original Gears of War, it was vague enough that you could kind of read your own in the Marcus. He wasn't tough kick-ass space marine number 105. You know, he was kind of a bit of a deeper character.
Dom's been talking to tomatoes again.
Yeah, ugh. But yeah, Gears 3 was just ridiculousness.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was glad the series was over, and then when I saw Judgment, it was just kind of like, oh, God. But then I took a look at it, and it's, hey, this is kind
of
cool.
And so I like the fact that it, I love that you play as all four members of the squad as the game goes on.
Yeah.
But I really like the focus on, because, I mean, at least Baird was a character.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There was more to him than muscle and back acne. And that's not saying anything about Gears' art design, because the chief art designer over at Epic is one of my favorite artists in the game.
And, you can say what you like about the Gears games. They look great.
They always look great.
They look great.
Yeah.
But there you go. God of War Ascension.
God of War Descent.
Because I'm a fan of those games anyway, and I even like 3. And
I like 3 as well. I didn't have the hate on for 3.
Yeah, and I know you were talking about the art design earlier. And yeah, Ascension I'm not too keen on, but that was what drew me to those first two games, was the art design.
Yeah.
I loved how they did the Greco-Roman stuff. It just really...
Actually, I will say, the first one was really captivating. The first one definitely was a pretty, it was an attention-getter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I always loved, like, I think it was in the first game when Kratos activates, what they call, Rage Mode? It was called God or Titan Mode. And he, all the flaming energy around him makes the big Spartan horsehair helmet in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Really cool.
And two, I mean, the main reason to play God of War 2 is because for a PS2 game, it was a technical powerhouse.
Yeah.
You know, the game,
It had an opening chapter that basically, just leaned off and cold-cocked everything else out
Most
there.
Final chapters.
Yeah.
It was a ridiculously technically accomplished game. And, I mean, even now, I would still probably consider that to be the single greatest-looking game on PlayStation 2. Mm-hmm. It was...
Mm-hmm. You'd do that over FF13? Or FF12?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah?
Yeah, 12 was more of an art design thing.
Yeah.
12 was beautifully designed. But God of War 2 was just a stunning technical achievement for that machine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it didn't even have, the same issues as something like Shadow of the Colossus, which looked beautiful, but ran at, 12 frames a second.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's, all credit where credit is due. God of War 1 and 2 in particular, brilliant games for different reasons. God of War 1, amazing game design.
Yeah.
Amazing. David Jaffe, 2 thumbs up, did a fantastic job. And I'm not even a Jaffe lover, but...
And then you got God of War 2, Corey Barlog, is Barlog or
Barlog?
Barlog. Yeah, Corey Barlog gets the ball with Jaffe left, and he runs 100 yards for a touchdown.
The problem I had with 2, and it was the same problem I had with 3 in Ascension, was a lot of the puzzle. You didn't get the cool areas like Pandora's Temple in God of War 1.
No.
You know, you didn't get the puzzle-driven stuff like you did in the first game. Mm-hmm. Everything was just
action. Well, what you did get was a whole bunch of shout-outs to Clash of the Titans, which I loved.
You got action. You got action, but what 2 had... that 3 kind of had, but not as much, was really kick-ass boss fights.
Yeah.
2 did have really kick-ass
boss
fights.
You had the Kraken, which was awesome. I was talking earlier about the really cool one against the last Spartan, where it's set against you're at a giant stained glass window, just sun pouring, and all you could see are silhouettes.
Right.
And then it was just, 2 was just set piece after set piece after set piece.
It was. And those Pegasus flight sequences looked absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
You know, really, really. But, there's nothing really, even in 3, as gorgeous as 3 was, 3 was, a technical show-off. 3 had, amazing lighting and stuff like that. But it didn't have any, I can't think of a single moment in 3 that wowed me, the first time I saw the Colossus of Rhodes.
I had a couple of wow moments in 3,
yeah?
But only one of them was coming to mind, and that was, and maybe this is actually from 2. But when you finally release that chain or whatever that attaches,
that was from 3, and that's the chain that holds connects Olympus.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was
pretty cool. Yeah,
that whole sequence was really cool.
Yeah. The what I think could have really fixed God of War Ascension for me, this is my biggest problem with it, was just shaving, and I could see it was going to be a problem, because I'm only in the first 15 minutes of the game, and I'm already tired of the combat.
Yeah.
Shave a little, there's no reason I need to fight 5 waves of enemies.
Yeah.
Throw 1 or 2 at me, but then again, if they do that, the game will be over in 2 hours.
Yeah, and I think the biggest sign, the biggest thing is you're watching the opening, everything is going chaos crazy, you're falling 10 stories with this weird insect bitch wrapped around you, you're falling off of stuff, you're, ripping apart these giant bosses that come out of arms and stuff, and your response is kind of, that's a sign that I think your series has run its course.
Yeah.
There's one thing, though, I wish was still a button mash.
Yeah.
And that's opening up the health containers. Because that's kind of a tension thing, right? Because in the earlier games, you're surrounded by enemies, you're low on life, and you're trying to open up that thing desperately, right?
Yeah, Medusa's head to see if you can stop a couple of Minotaurs for just the 2 seconds you need to open that thing.
That's a good observation, actually.
Yeah.
That's a really good observation.
And I don't mind it being quick for the red orb thing, or anything else, really. Well... Yeah, but for the health thing, I think they could have just...
And trying to time it so when they were the color-changing ones, so you get health instead of magic. But yeah, no, it's... that's really all I got to say about God of War. And, you know, Sony Santa Monica, talented studio, move on to something else, right?
Yeah.
That's the sign of a truly talented studio, when you can, correct from a fumble.
I think it's time for... The news.
The news.
Back for the news, guys.
News.
Yeah. All right.
News.
Starting off, I've got a little... Because of the soda pop I'm drinking, I've got a bubble right now, so my voice sounds a little weird.
And now the news! It's time for the news!
It's time for the news! Get those pants right up high on your waist!
Holy humanity!
Kevin's improv skills are amazing.
I went to school for that shit. Capcom has announced a remake... of the NES classic, DuckTales. Even Steve's typically hardened shell could not resist. How can you? The game is developed by WayForward, a boy and his blob for a week.
Yeah, and it's coming. Was the other big one they did?
WayForward has done some awesome stuff for portables, as like Aliens Infestation.
Yes, Aliens Infestation.
Contra 4.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
So they're
WayForward, and one of the actually art designers at WayForward, Kevin, did all those cool, like Legend of Princess, that Zelda 2D size.
Oh,
and,
nice.
What was the game? Noi to Love, and right, he's a really, really talented 2D pixel artist.
Okay.
You gotta see, like, these guys are great with 2D.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
Well, it's coming to the PSN, Xbox Live, and the Nintendo eShop summer, which is really exciting. And it looks gorgeous.
It does. It looks awesome. They did not only... I noticed one thing that I thought was really freaking cool. They did not just reanimate it. They actually added animation to it.
Yeah.
So it's not just, you know, like...
It looks
not like what they did with Street Fighter, how like when they did the Turbo remix of Street Fighter for Xbox Live PSN, they just took the original sprite art and redrew it.
Well, they have to do that, man, because if you add an extra frames in Street Fighter, you throw off the Street Fighter balance.
Yeah, tell that to WayForward and DuckTales.
And they've also got the original voice actors from the cartoon.
Yeah.
All of them.
And also, part of the reason they're now, I know the backgrounds are fully 3D, but the reason that the 2D sprite world looks so good is these guys got a hold of the actual character sheets and... stuff from the animation studio that produced DuckTales and what was the movie called? Legend of the Lost Lamp or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, from the late 80s, right?
Still pretty awesome. Pretty awesome.
I can't wait to play it.
And actually, you know, I'm really excited to have a whole new generation of gamers hear Capcom's Moon Level music, which falls just behind Dr. Wily Stage 1
and
Mega Man 2. What?
Castle Stage 2, was it? No, Castle Stage 1.
Yeah. As... some of the greatest 8-bit music ever.
Yeah, I still like my definitely. Old 8-bit Ninja Gaiden, man. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 8-bit Ninja Gaiden is the shit.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking about 8-bit...
No, we're not. In other news, completely opposite of DuckTales, but also coming out of PAX East, fairly enough.
Okay.
BioWare Edmonton's Casey Hudson, the man behind the Mass Effect trilogy, who has earned our respect...
I don't know this.
...has announced at PAX East... that he is currently working on an entirely new fictional universe with the guys at BioWare, while the guys at BioWare Montreal continue with Mass Effect. Whatever Hudson's into, I think he's earned our attention.
Interesting.
It's something new. It's a new, you know, so I mean, like, well, Dragon Age, Mass Effect,
right.
Jade Empire. So whatever it is he's doing, it's going to be fucking awesome.
It's going to be good, yeah.
Hudson's behind Jade Empire?
Hudson's behind Mass Effect. He created Mass Effect. So, you know.
Shepard. Something else that actually... Are you done with the BioWare?
I should go.
Something else that gained our attention many, many moons ago. Double Fine's Kickstarter mega success. You guys remember that? Kickstarted the whole Kickstarter video game.
It totally did. That and then right after that, hot on the heels with Shadowrun Returns.
Yeah, that's right.
I still remember the Shadowrun Returns, the first video. the pitch video when it was Jordan Westman in the elevator talking to Tim Schafer on the cell phone. It was awesome.
Well, that same video where they had the guy did the responsible for the Xbox game.
They're holding up a sign saying, I'm sorry, and they were all throwing paper balls and shit.
That was so cool.
So their Kickstarter mega success has been revealed at PAX East.
Hey, PAX!
As Broken Age. It's a classic point-and-click adventure that tells the tale of two young characters. One, a girl chosen to be her village's sacrifice to a powerful monster, and the other, a boy living on a spaceship with a motherly computer. Folks, if you could have seen Kevin Woolridge's face just break up as I describe that, it's moments like that why I'm proud to be a gamer.
See,
that's awesome.
I think it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
It does sound pretty cool. The artwork, I wasn't really impressed when I saw the artwork.
Oh, okay.
But I gotta say, the concept sounds pretty awesome.
I dig this. Yeah. I mean, I'm not that much into point-and-click anymore. That's kind of a dated kind of genre a little bit for me.
I'd love to go back and play through The Dig again.
Yeah.
The Dig was freaking incredible. Absolutely incredible. Was that
a Lucas?
It was a LucasArts one, but it was like their first attempt at a non-comical.
Okay.
Right. It was a strange meteor appeared floating towards Earth, and they launched a shuttle mission, and when the shuttle lands on it, it turns into this weird trans-dimensional traveling sphere or something and takes them to another galaxy kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
And it was like all the shuttle crew on this bizarre planet. It was really, really good.
So, we'll keep our eyes open on that one.
Definitely. And also, I heard him say something recently about Brutal Legend. There was a kind of a hint in one of his interviews of...
Really?
Of the possibility.
I'm not making a sequel, folks. What I'm going to do is go back and fix what was wrong with the first one.
I love the DuckTales trailer when they had the quotes from the different video game personalities. Mm-hmm. Stop emailing me looking for a quote. Tim Schafer.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Stay classy, Tim.
Mentioning another rumor. See that segue?
Rumor.
It's not really a good segue when you actually say that was a good segue. It turns it into a bad one.
Kevin,
it's a
rumor-ang.
The rumor-ang. Rumor-ang's coming back. Rumors are abound that Sucker Punch's infamous Second Son, which we saw clips at the PS4.
We saw something. It was a video of some guy roasting a bunch of security guards.
That's right. There's rumors that it will be a PS4 launch title.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of assumed that
from
seeing it at the press conference.
In the state that it was shown, it looked more like a pre-rendered video.
Yeah.
Like just a little cutscene. So mm-hmm. I was kind of thinking, still a year off.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of thinking, not really much to go on.
Right.
But hey, if it's a launch title,
yeah, I mean,
one more reason to own a PS4.
Oh, definitely.
Yep.
Maybe I'll not go to school in the fall and buy a PS4.
I'm definitely buying a PS4 in the fall.
I just got to see, I got to answer the question, am I better at Killzone than Anthony Edwards and Jimmy?
And Jimmy Fallon. more rumors. Here goes the rumor ring again. The next entry in the Call of Duty series has rumoredly been outed. It's called Call of Duty Ghosts.
Tom Clancy just summoned his lawyers.
Yeah, really, though. I would assume it's going to focus on, you know...
Ghost.
What was that, his name? Ghost?
The guy with the skull mask,
yeah. Yeah, Call of Duty Ghosts. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a military shooter of some kind. I'm sure there's going to be machine guns in it. And terrorists.
Here, just look to see if they got any hints on whether or not we're going to blow up the moon. Classic.
Some of the rumors, some of the more interesting rumors, actually, peg the game as next generation only.
Wow.
PS4, Xbox, whatever it's going to be called.
I mean, it's going to happen eventually.
It is going to happen eventually. And you know what? As much as we love to slag on Call of Duty, and let's face it, we love to slag on Call of Duty, going next-gen only would be a very ballsy move and actually would earn my respect.
Yep.
I gotta say.
Well, I think it would show Activision, you know, firmly putting their money in the future.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And just, I think it would be a classy move on their part. I mean, like, as much as I'm looking forward to playing Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag on PS4, and, of course, Watch Dogs, everything, like, Ubisoft stuff is, like, every console under the sun, you know, available for every major system. I think it'd be kind of a cool move on Activision's part to say, look, here's our next game in the series, but you know what we're doing? We're just going full-on next-gen.
Yeah.
You know? And I think it's a ballsy move, because...
It's very ballsy, because how many people are going to be
early adopters.
And how much money did they sink into this franchise year after year? I mean, their teams are huge.
And also, you got to think, Call of Duty's major foothold was gained with Modern Warfare, with Call of Duty 4.
Yeah.
And we were, more than a year into this console generation when that hit.
Well, Call of Duty 4 was the kind of the golden year of this generation. It was 2007, so it was the, you know, it was the same as the...
So we'd had COD 2 and 3.
Yeah. It was you know, it was the year of Uncharted. It was the year of Heavenly Sword. It was a big year, you know. It was.
I remember too. I was back in those days. You know, I had no interest in Call of Duty. It was a PC style shooter. I was kind of burned out on the World War II shooters at that point. I remember you and Brian calling me and say, "Go to Walmart right now
and buy Modern Warfare.
And buy Modern Warfare. Seriously, get an Xbox Live card because we're playing it all night, every night."
And you know what? Modern Warfare, the first Modern Warfare, was an amazing game.
Fantastic game.
It was an amazing game.
Call of Duty to me is just, it's the same as God, we were talking about with God of War. Just the formula needs some changing, right? Yeah.
With Call of Duty, it's not even so much the formula as the tech.
Yeah.
You know, the tech is just so behind now. So, I mean, hey, Ghosts, next generation, I'm down.
Yeah.
Especially if it's Ghosts Recon.
I'd much prefer Ghost Recon, but, you know, I'll live.
A May 28th release date has been announced for Insomniac's Fuse, worst cover art ever.
Oh, plain vanilla.
That's something I don't expect from Insomniac.
I'm
going to
look that up right now.
I can still remember their first Resistance teaser. Yeah. You know, the World War II shooter starts up in the crowd with boo, and then aliens appear out of the sky. A Strider punches up through the ground. All of a sudden, woo!
That was when it was called Project 18 or whatever. Yeah. At that point, they didn't even have a title.
The four-person co-op story-driven action game, wow, that was a mouthful, marks the Resistance / Ratchet & Clank developers' first foray into multi-platform gaming. And I gotta say, at first, I was excited. I'm a bit of an Insomniac fan.
I am too, no doubt.
I was kind of excited when I saw, you know, what was it called, Overstrike?
Overstrike. I thought it looked cheesy as hell.
Yeah, no, but to me, it kind of captured that whole, they were going for that whole gung-ho G.I. Joe cartoon look.
Yeah, and instead it looked like an episode of Kim Possible.
Yeah. And, but now it looks, I'm just hoping there's a bit of that Insomniac humor in there. You know, because the series...
Yeah, because Resistance is so full of humor.
No, but Resistance, the seriousness worked, because Resistance is fucking terrifying.
It's grim. It's pretty grim. Resistance 3 is...
Wasn't Resistance 2, like, it's like, congratulations, you finished the game, and here's your ending. We're going to suicide the main character.
Yeah, you're going to shoot yourself in the face.
I'm turning into an alien beast.
Actually, that's the cover?
Yeah, pretty lame, huh?
It is lame.
Yeah, pretty plain vanilla... Dull looking.
Everybody's heads are cut off.
Yeah, it just looks like something that's going to end up in the bargain bin.
And I don't expect that from Insomniac.
Nope.
It's going to be in the bargain bin next to
Time Shift and Turok and
what's that one where you make the ground come up?
Fracture.
I'm getting serious Fracture vibes.
Yeah,
from that
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Listen, I thought you promised me you were going to make fun of Time Shift because I love gimmicky shooters. What was the really cool one? I foolishly said looked better than Bioshock, where you all the stuff with the black hole. Singularity
was awesome. Singularity was an awesome freaking game.
Yeah. I was like, I'm getting a Bioshock vibe off of this, only more awesome. And the rest, everyone else is like, you're insane.
No, I agree with you.
Then I went back to...
It was Bioshock without all the Ayn Rand.
Kevin loves his Ayn Rand.
Bioshock without
say
Atlas.
Something.
Bioshock without Atlas Shrugged.
So what were we talking about in the news?
Bioshock without all the hipster bush.
Oh, there we go.
That word. Look, he's crying. He's crying.
This hipster bullshit moment brought to you by...
I think that about sums up the news for this week.
I think it does.
And that was the news!
Holy humanity! So, not really news, but, hey, Steve bought a Wii U this week.
That is insane.
Bum, bum, bum!
And the angels wept, and the devils laughed and cried aloud.
Avast, the devils stood and felt how awful goodness is.
And a voice thundered, whoa!
In the halls of pandemonium.
The moon was black as sackcloth.
He has eaten the pancake.
The dead rising from the grave. Mass hysteria. Dogs and cats
living together.
So yeah, anyway, I did buy a Wii U.
Yeah.
The reason for my purchase was a game released this week for the system.
The reason for his purchase is incredibly sad.
Oh, look what you did.
He's crying!
He's so sad. My reason for purchasing was a game series that I've been following since its inception, to the point that I did actually at one point import one of the games from Japan when I found out it wasn't going to be released here, and then promptly eBayed it because I didn't have a fucking clue what was going on because I couldn't read Japanese.
I can't read these squiggly menus.
We are talking about Monster Hunter. I did pick up Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate for the Wii U. Nobody's going to get that reference, John. Nobody. No one will survive. Nobody.
Go on YouTube and look up Cadillacs and Dinosaurs. I'm so lonely.
So I did pick up Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate along with my Zombie U Wii U bundle because I wanted the Pro Controller. I didn't really have any interest in Zombie U, and I'm sure I'll talk about that when I eventually crack the plastic. But
look at this beef eater head on the cover.
I know. Maybe when we're done recording. But anyway, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate. If you're familiar with the series, don't hesitate. Just get it. I mean, it is the same series it's been since the inception on PS2 Lotos many years ago. But it hasn't changed significantly. It is, you know, like little increments, new monsters, new regions, new armor and stuff like this, but it still plays brilliantly.
You want to feel like you've accomplished something?
Yeah.
Taking a monster in life.
Exactly. It's, you know, especially like, you know, when you start off, you got these little hunts that you do. You've got these little areas where you're going after what look like giant dinosaurs and carnivores and stuff. But all of them lead to one big giant monster that you have to hunt.
Cool.
And like the first region in Monster Hunter 3, you're going after this big sea serpent type of thing, basically. It's colossal. It's absolutely massive. It's awesome. The online
cover.
I think so. Okay. I can't picture the cover offhand right now, but yeah. But it's, you know, gameplay is great. It's not an easy game to get into if you're not willing to sit down and spend some time to learn it. It's the kind of game I like. You know, Dragon's Dogma, very, very similar in that regard. Dark Souls, Demon Souls, again, games you got to kind of sit down and learn the ropes on your own. The game doesn't really hold your hand so much. And I always enjoyed that about Monster Hunter. I always enjoyed that it was a little bit dense. It wasn't just a pick-up-and-play kind of game. And Monster Hunter 3 is no exception. It is still, you know, it is still a dense series, but at the same time, it's kind of gotten a little more breezy. There's a lot more little in-jokes, there's a lot more little tongue-in-cheek comments, you got the little cat guys running around, and it's different. It's
the silly cooking music.
Yeah, silly cooking music when you're roasting barbecue meat and stuff, you know. It's a fun game. It really is a fun game. It's a great way to spend a few hours. It's one of those games, too, that you can kind of devote hundreds of hours to and not even realize. It kind of pushes you along that way.
Okay.
And it's got great multiplayer.
Oh, does it?
Yep. It really does. It's, you know, solid four players online. On the Wii U in particular, it is the first time Monster Hunter has ever been presented in high def.
Right.
So, I mean, you can play it in 1080p, which is great. It looks nice. I mean, yeah, it still looks kind of like, you know, last gen-ish upscaled. But it's good. It's a solid effort. I haven't got much else to say about it, really.
Yeah, and I've never really played one before. I played a little bit of that one, an hour ago. Seemed pretty cool.
They're fun games, man. They're really addictive. If you're the kind of person who likes, you know, customizing gear and hunting down, like, monsters and stuff for components to make specific swords and armors and stuff like this, It'll definitely scratch that itch for sure. Yeah, yeah. You know
what I'm kind of disappointed Kev didn't get a chance to see, because I mean you're a couple hours in before you actually really see one, is just to get that that sudden drop in your stomach when you realize you have to fight something the size of a skyscraper.
Yeah, and you know, and that's where the real joy of the series comes in, when you start fighting something that is dangerous.
It takes an hour to bring that.
Yeah, and like you know something that can kill you. You know, like you were fighting herbivores. You know, you were fighting guys that can't... Like, they can fight back, but not effectively.
I was fighting Littlefoot.
Yeah. Yeah, you were beating up Littlefoot. He
killed its parents first, and I was like, Kevin, did you kill its parents so that the baby dinosaur could go on a Land Before Time-style adventure? And then he turned around and killed Littlefoot.
Yeah. That's the irony of the game. You're actually the monster.
Yeah.
Oh!
They should put that on the back of the box. And the greatest monster was man.
But no, you know, it's a fun series. It really is. It's one of those kind of... It does take a little bit of a time investment.
Yeah.
But it's something I've always enjoyed. I mean, I played them on the PSP. I love the old PS2 one, which it seems like everybody's forgotten exists. But, you know, it's a fun game. I'm really, really... Right now, I'm really pleased with my purchase, actually.
Cool.
So, that's it. That's Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate.
Two thumbs up.
It's also available for 3DS if you feel so inclined, if you're silly.
I own 3DS.
Like I said, if you're silly.
You silly bar steward.
Beep, 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 beep. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, they're about to fire the Retro Rockets.
We are so lame.
Yeah.
What was that?
But at least 2/3 of us are married, so we don't have to pretend anymore.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks.
You wound him deeply.
You do. So, the Retro Rockets have been fired, and they're heading this way. The question for this
Retro
week,
Rockets are brakes, Kevin. You don't...
Are they?
They're not heading this way. It's
just... Oh, you're right.
They're used for redirection.
That's right. Retroactive.
Yeah.
Ah, I'm such a moron. So that whole little introduction...
All the Doctor Who you watched... Files on Retro Rockets!
All the Doctor Who I watched was like from the first and second season. They didn't have the budget for any kind of rockets in those.
I'm actually impressed. He said first or second season, not first or second series, like a pretentious twat.
And you're the one who draws attention to it. What does that tell us about you?
My hat. This is street cred.
Alright, so here's the question for you guys. And I think we've had a question similar to this before, but I think it's apropos, considering our talk about DuckTales.
Woo!
Yeah. So, with DuckTales getting a nice HD kind of, remastering.
Yep.
What other classic 8-bit, let's stick with 8-bit games.
8-bit games?
Would you like to see have a similar kind of revamp?
Wow. Well, now.
I'd like to see Rescue Rangers. That was a good game.
Oh,
that was one of the weakest of the Capcom Disney games.
I thought it was a good game. I remember enjoying that one.
Oh.
Picking up apples.
Like, Kevin, Ghouls and Ghosts was right there.
Ghouls and Ghosts. Goblins.
Yeah, Ghouls and Ghosts was a high def remake.
Yeah.
Ghosts
and Goblins. Yeah. No, that's not...
And there was also the PSP game that only I bought.
Hey, check my shelf, motherfucker.
and them shits was glorious.
I was about to pick one, but then I realized that they actually did do a remake of it, and it kind of sucked.
What was that?
Mega Man. The original Mega Man.
They didn't do a remake, they did a new one.
They did a remake of the first one for PSP called Mega Man Powered Up.
Really?
He had a giant head.
Oh, no.
They really messed with the pace of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It sucked.
Yeah.
Now, there was so much bonus stuff in it. Like, every time you took down one of the bosses without using a special weapon, you got locked them to play through the full game.
Yeah.
And gimmicky as they were. But, I mean, it was a remake of the first Mega Man game. We all know the series didn't really count until the second.
Yeah, it's true.
The first one was okay, but the second and the third were where it's at.
Now, the remake of Mega Man X was boss.
The remake of Mega Man X Maverick Hunter was really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. I am... I mentioned it extremely briefly earlier, but I'm going to throw it out there again. Ninja Gaiden 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
I would love to see those
a
in
nice
like 720... with nice hand-animated graphics, you know?
That would be fantastic.
Not this Double Dragon Neo 3D characters.
Yeah, exactly, because it's so easy to get it wrong, too, with these remakes.
Double Dragon Neo was fun for what it was.
Yeah.
As a novelty that you play for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But it did not capture the essence of the original Double Dragon at all.
Yeah.
You know, whereas you get Ninja Gaiden, you get the first one, second one, and third one.
Mm-hmm.
And redo the cutscenes with some animation.
Throw in some crazy parallax scroll on those backgrounds.
Yeah, and just hand animate those, the levels.
Yeah.
You know, nice big sprite characters and stuff. That would be freaking
amazing. And that'd rake in the cash too, man. People would be all over that.
I think so.
Oh yeah, and listen, and you know what else it'd do? It'd wash the horrible taste out of my mouth of the Xbox trilogy. The horribles. Because, I mean, Ninja Gaiden had a story above all others in the 8-bit days, right?
It did. I mean, it was the game.
And you want to see a game, you want to see a game villain? The Yakuyo.
Yeah, Yakuyo or Ashtar.
It was the game that you set up your VCR to record all the cutscenes while you were playing the game so you could play it back.
A tear rolling down your cheek when you realized that Robert T.S. wasn't getting out of this one.
Yeah.
Back to the wall.
Looks like this is the end of old Jungle Rat Rob.
Back to the wall. Demons coming towards him. What does he do? Pulls his fucking .45 and starts shooting. Rob, you can't kill those things with a .45. You need a katana.
All right, John, what about you?
Let's see. I'm not going to go Shatterhand like you guys are expecting, even though punching robots is awesome.
It's your answer for everything. I know. Shatterhand.
I told you, man. They should have had the Shatter Bam joke in Scott Pilgrim.
It can't live up to the hype you've delivered upon it now.
No, it can't.
It really can't.
Even though it's one of the best 8-bit games ever.
It's a good 8-bit game.
I don't know. It's no Kabuki Quantum Fighter, man.
Or Kickmaster.
Kabuki Quantum Fighter, man, people don't realize how good that actually was.
I played it.
I'm not even going to say Power Blade. Does that lose my Power Blade? Okay,
play something. Say something that other people might have heard of.
Okay, here we go. You got a movie coming out.
Uh-oh.
You've got comics out there with talented artists.
I know.
Get some talented artists on the go, and remake Texan's G.I. Joe game for the NES.
Yeah.
I'd like that, actually. I'd be all over that.
That would be cool.
Especially if they could capture the look of the old animated series.
Yeah.
You know, really capture the 80s animated series in a video game. That would be pretty freaking boss.
No, man, I'd make all the sprites look like the same coloring style that's on the file cards.
The packet. It'd be too hard to see what's going on, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to take back my Rescue Rangers. That wasn't a real one.
No?
Rygar.
Oh, God. Devil May Rygar.
Rygar, definitely. I mean, that was one of my favorite games when I was a kid.
Anyone else remember when they tried to recapture Rygar on PS2 with the really shitty Devil May Cry clone?
Yeah, and I remember when they released it to the Wii and they took that same shitty Devil May Cry clone and gave him Dragon Ball Z here.
They did.
And it was terrible. It was les enfants terribles.
But that first game, man, I loved it. I dug it. I had the music.
Kevin, that was your Clash at Demon Head. I keep...
It was not my Clash at Demon Head.
It was.
I played the crap out of that
game. It was your Clash of the Embassy
the
mission.
At Demon Head
no, but I went back to it and played the crap out of it.
It's the Clash at Demon Head rule.
Do you know what the Clash at Demon Head rule is?
Yeah, if you get stuck with a game that you rent and you're going to play it because you got it.
Yeah, but you develop an emotional connection to it. I will play the shit out of Rescue the Embassy mission even though it sucks.
No, it doesn't.
See, exactly.
Rescue the Embassy mission does not suck.
Okay?
Dodging those spotlights was awesome.
Okay. Was the music played when you were or trying to dodge the spotlight?
So like when you were hidden, it was like and then they jump out and it's like,
but yeah, no, I can only imagine, like, getting back on topic, I can only imagine how awesome a remake of that G.I. Joe game would be. Yeah. You know, you get to the end of the Amazon jungle, suddenly lightning crashes, you can throw in pouring rain now, and then the Cobra Con
they could handle pouring rain now.
Yeah. And suddenly that was the Condor? The
Cobra Condor, yeah.
Yeah, that thing swoops down, you blow the top front of it out, and then the fucking back of the thing comes in and starts attacking you.
And you're playing as Duke.
Yeah. With a gun that shoots laser rings.
That'd be deadly. I mean, the
and you can even change the stuff so all the G.I. Joe guys, they all shoot red lasers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the Cobra guys shoot blue lasers.
Yeah.
You'd have to dub in the sound effects from the cartoon. Yeah. Team.
I see it looking a bit like Bionic Commando, that remake. That was an awesome game.
Man. And it was pretty good.
And every time you finish a level...
Yo, Joe!
Yeah, I mean, you got a movie coming out with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You got you got a pretty strong comic series on the go now.
You do. But see, the problem is, G.I. Joe has always been the Hasbro redheaded stepchild.
Yeah, you know,
trans-retard formers. Sorry, Tim.
No, and that drives me insane is... And I was going to bring it up as a ambush topic. Future I was going to bring up G.I. Joe with the... If you did that kind of the way they did War for Cybertron.
Yeah.
Right? Go back to the beginning and Batman Begins it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it just drives me insane that we got, you know, these Transformers games and movies that are making millions of dollars. And fucking He-Man gets an iPad game.
A crappy iPad game.
A horrible, horrible.
And they just released an update for it. It's now free, by the way. I paid for it like a sucker. there's new armor. You know the armor He-Man used to have that when you hit it? It was like battle damage.
Yeah.
You get that armor, and now you get to fight King Hiss as well in it. I don't know how, because I haven't updated
King
it.
Hiss.
Yeah. And King Hiss as he looked back then. Not the new
one. King Hiss is a stupid one. It's like, he was a shell you took two pieces off.
Yeah, he was made out of snakes. Yeah, I had that guy.
Yeah. No, he was always a lamer version of that. I forget what series it's from. This really cool red figure when you squeeze his leg, his torso flipped inside out and turned into the devil.
That was Monstar from Silverhawks.
Oh. Badass.
See, I'm so glad I wasn't a He-Man fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, G.I. Joe. Remake it.
And Rygar.
Now you know. Rygar sucks.
Oh.
And knowing is half the battle.
Oh, you guys.
What was my answer again? Oh, Ninja Gaiden.
Ninja Gaiden, yep.
I want to hook up the NES and play Ninja Gaiden right now.
Yeah.
But I can't.
Oh.
Because you sold out to the man.
You sold us out, Officer Duffy. You're a rotten cop.
Oh, you sold your games.
No, I upgraded the TV.
Oh,
so
right.
I can't hook it up to the projector.
So, guys, we can play Halo 4 on a 100-inch screen and be amazed, but we can't play Ninja Gaiden.
Not at the moment.
Sad panda.
Soon. Very soon. So I guess that's it for this week's episode.
I guess so.
We got gaboos for this week or what?
I don't know.
No, well, let's just do it. Okay, what's our good, bad, and ugly this week in gaming? Anyone got a good?
Monster Hunter 3. Ultimate. For me. I like it.
Out of all the awesome news we had, you're going to go Monster Hunter 3.
Okay.
I thought it looked okay.
Never mind. Forget it. You know what? Good. The end of Tomb Raider was freaking phenomenal. Okay?
Bad. Now the Tomb Raider's finished.
Bad. Now the Tomb Raider's finished. There's a hole in my soul, and I'm trying to fill the gap with Monster Hunter 3.
Ugly? Any really bad news this week in gaming?
Yeah, God of War Ascension sucks ballsack.
Oh, and I'll buy it once there's a price.
Chalky white ghost is part of boss. Imagine how sweaty Kratos.
Harsh, yet poignant and true.
That's gross, man.
That is gross. Anyway,
okay, bitch.
Until next time, we were in.
And we are out.